You're listening to 514FC on Red Nation Online. Week 1 of MLS is in the books, and we are back with another edition. On this week's show, it's all about the Montreal Impact's 1-0 victory in Seattle, and a glance at our next opponents, the Portland Timbers. Also on the show, we'll be doing something for a change. We'll be praising Joey Saputo, and we'll be discussing changes made to Montreal Impact's third new kid jersey during MLS Jersey Week. So stay tuned, because it all begins now on the 514FC podcast show. Tous pour gagner.
I dedicate this record, the Carnival, to all you brothers taking long trips down south, Virginia, Baltimore, all around the world, and your girl gets this message that you ain't coming back. She's sitting back in a room, the lights is off, she's crying, and then my voice comes in, pow, in the middle of the night, and this is what I told her for you. Every time I make a run, girl, you turn around and cry. I ask myself why, oh, why. See, you must understand, I can't work a 9-to-5. So I'll be gone till November.
You're listening to 514FC. My name is George Chirobi, here with Roberto Garcia, our contributor, Kevin Laramé.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Not bad, guys. So we're celebrating a 1-0 victory.
What a first weekend it was.
Oh, man. I was so excited the other night. We were at Champs. Carl, we met, and Vandrille Lefebvre showed up, and went around and shook everyone's hand. It was my birthday.
My birthday
was March 2nd. I got to see the Impact win on my birthday.
A nice gift.
It was a very nice gift.
Especially in a place where it's hard to get those 3 points.
Oh,
I was at Casual Spa Plaza Side, where I work, actually. And all the front office of the Impact was there. So I got to meet a couple of the Academy players. U21, U18. Got to watch the game with those ones.
Who shook your hand at the end of the night?
I shook hands with Guichard Lejean. He came and said hi, and I was pretty happy about that. He's a very good guy. Comes once a week to my restaurant. Very nice person. And what a night it was. What a game. What a display of strong will at the end to make sure that Seattle doesn't score. I was really impressed.
Yeah, we were also saved a couple times by the woodwork.
Off the woodworks.
I don't know. I was very happy with the performance of Hassoun Kamara, particularly because I have him in my pool. He got me a few points. He blocked a lot of shots, and to the point where he looked a little concussed at the end of his stint there. So I'm glad he got taken off and rested. Maybe rest him for the next match and put in Nelson, maybe, if he's healthy, or start Iapicino, because I think Hassoun deserves a little break after that match. But I was super impressed with Kamara, super impressed with the work ethic of Davy Arnaud to just be there at the right moment, the right time, hustling like a motherfucker to get that goal.
Davy Arnaud.
Of all people.
He's proving his worth. Just like the map to success. The map to success, yes, you heard it, the map to success, because...
Hashtag that shit.
What happened 2 weeks ago, guys, because I don't want to backtrack that much, but we
backtrack,
did,
go ahead, feel free.
But we did raise a cup, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, it was Mickey Mouse Cup.
We had some Mickey Mouse ears on that cup, didn't we?
Cup's a cup, man.
Cup a cup, but it gives that boost in morale, because we know what the next step is.
Exactly.
Joey knows what the next step is, Nick DeSantis knows what the next step is. Aside from the MLS season, there's another cup coming.
And that's the Voyager Cup. We need to fucking win this cup. It's a nice short-term objective. Early on in the season, this is a smart objective because it's significant. It's our entry into CONCACAF. It's our entry into bigger and better opponents, more prestigious opponents.
More visibility.
I want to book my ticket to Mexico, to Torreón, to go face Santos Laguna, okay? It's meaningful. It's another cup. It's good for morale, okay? It's another morale booster like this Mickey Mouse Cup. It's attainable. It's only 4 matches. We just got to beat Toronto in two, and Vancouver in two.
We could even tie some of those matches, you know? Exactly. We don't necessarily have to beat them all.
Exactly. It's relevant, it's good for TV, it's Canadian teams competing. That's great for ratings and great for visibility. And it's timely. Again, it's early on in the season, and it's another stepping stone for us onto making the playoffs in MLS. So all of these things combined make it a smart objective.
Disney Cup was a smart objective, and it was attained. We could put a nice check mark right there, because one cup in that nice trophy case in Mr. Saputo's office.
First cup ever since we're in the MLS, so first silverware.
I don't even think Vancouver won any silverware. Did they win Mickey Mouse last year?
Yes, they did, actually.
They did. So, you know, another Canadian team wins another minor championship.
And we might win another minor one in the Voyager Cup in a couple weeks.
Speaking of Canadian teams, I gotta say right off the bat, anyone who says they're a fucking soccer fan, and yes, I'm gonna start cursing here because it needs to be said. If you're not at the stadium on March 16th at 1600 hours at 4 o'clock p.m., can't call yourself a soccer fan, because we cannot leave this stadium half filled with 5,000 TFC fans drowning out our fans. This cannot happen. We have to fill this motherfucking big O.
It's scary. I think the latest press release is now 25,000, so we can say 5,000. That are TFC fans, and the other 20 that are us. And now out of that 20, 7,000 are season ticket holders. So we need more people at that stadium. We need to drown out these fools before they decide to bring another 5,000 to the stadium.
We need to fill it up. Otherwise, the Big O empty. Even half full, the Big O's empty.
Exactly.
So we need a lot of people to cheer on the Impact.
It's like you're playing soccer in a big cavern.
So everybody, you listening to us, go on Twitter, send a little tweet, hashtag, what is it? Hashtag 16H. Tweet it, let everybody know. What is it? March 16th.
Says Math says
4 p.m. Yeah. Be there.
We need everyone there. Tell your mother, your daughter, your friends, your
bring
cousins.
Bring your dog.
You bring know. Your Toronto fan even.
Bring anybody. This is going to be, it's a Canadian derby. We got to make this important in Europe. When you have the likes of a Manchester City versus a Manchester United, stuff is crazy down there, and we got to make it crazy here. Not in terms of violence, but in terms of a nice soccer atmosphere.
Yeah.
And we know that when Big O is full, it's a great place to
and
be.
And our atmosphere of the blue and black needs to drown out their atmosphere. These reds need to be drowned out. They need to be silenced. In terms of overpowering, in terms of decibel level.
Oh.
And we only attain this in numbers.
Or when Sinisa scores a goal and tells them to shut up like he did last year.
Oh man, you're dreaming if you think Sinisa is going to start. You think Sinisa is going to start at Olympic Stadium?
Come on. He's not even going to be a sub. He's not going to play.
It's only my dreams.
Yeah, it is. What happened to him?
He was the captain. He was the captain of our reserve team in 2012.
Yeah,
but apparently not good enough to start.
Not good.
Or even sub in.
Not even in the first 18. He's not even there. Anyway. You get Callum Malice before Sinisa Ubi Peripovic.
Callum Malice.
So we
win a Disney Cup Challenge Cup. We take that momentum. We go into last Saturday where we get the 1-0 victory. Up next, we got Portland.
Donovan Ricketts, our old buddy.
Donovan Ricketts.
From Jamaica.
And we all know what happened last Sunday, where it was a nice 3-1, you know, New York Red Bulls. Seems they were going cruising for the win. It seemed they were cruising for a win, but then Portland, they came back, manned up, 3-3.
Yeah, the atmosphere was crazy at Jogland Field.
It looked like an army. It looked like a timber
20, army. 20,000 people doing the scars. Wow, that was impressive.
Going to be another crazy atmosphere where the Impact are going to be the visitors in Portland.
I'm going to be excited to see Ryan Johnson, because I saw him a number of times in Toronto during his stint in Toronto.
What'd you tell Ryan that one time?
That's true. Since we're in section 120, right in the corner kick section, he came up for a corner kick last year, and I told him, Ryan, come to Montreal. And he heard it, and his instinctive reaction was to turn around with a huge smile on his face to see who said that. And I told him, you look better in blue. And then he went and proceeded to take his corner kick, but he enjoyed the comments. So,
and this is
because at that time he was extremely unhappy in Toronto. As you know, last season was a disastrous for TFC.
If I was playing for Toronto, I would be unhappy as well. Oof, God.
The only thing they have going for them is their new jersey.
And we're going to get to that later on after
break. Sorry, I want to go off on a tangent on this jersey right away, because this motherfucker right here, Kevin Lame, has this Umbro jersey on, which I detest.
It's the Canadian's main national team.
No offense to you for wearing it, but come on, Umbro, they can do a better job.
Umbro Canada, we've tweeted to them many times. Take some notes. Look at the Adidas new TFC kit.
That should be the Canada kit.
And this is since we're on this tangent, my negative about this jersey basically is the following. TFC, they lack imagination, they lack creativity, they lack their own logo, their own identity, and instead of trying to envelop some sort of idea, they decide to go the easy way and take a maple leaf. A Maple Leaf, another team in Toronto with a Maple Leaf.
Well, they're owned by the same company as the Maple Leafs, so it's an obvious reference to them.
MLSE, Maple Leafs. So we got another Maple Leaf on a Toronto jersey. Just jersey is just red, you know, by coincidence. That's my, you know, take on this jersey.
It doesn't look like a club jersey. It looks like a country jersey.
Yeah.
Has no place in MLS, in my opinion. I really don't like
no
it.
Place.
I think it's... Even the team has no place in MLS, but the jersey's done me. I don't like it. I'm not going to like it anytime soon. I hope they're not even going to wear it. I hope is it their first or their third kit?
No,
it's their first kit, right?
I think this is an official kit.
Yeah, it's the new one.
It's their new one. It's not even a third. This is like, we're going to see this all the time in red.
Oh my God, help us. Help them.
But one guy we're not going to see in this kit is Mr. Torsten Frings.
Got to pay a little respect. Maybe at one point we'll feed in a nice...
nice retirement, Torsten.
Ciao, Torsten. Let's give him a moment of silence. Enough.
Yeah.
Enough. No, he did nothing for the squad. He did nothing.
No, he performed, man. He was impressive. But he was...
When?
Like, how long? He wasn't surrounded by the proper talent. He was impressive. He commanded the field. He was that guy that the whole formation revolved around.
Yeah.
But... he didn't really have much to work with.
He was a joke, just like that email you sent me once upon a time where they did some sort of marketing with Torsten Frings in the Metro.
Yeah.
He looked like a goofball.
Yeah.
And at one point, it's just done.
Yeah.
It's just done. And it's done. He could have rehabbed through, came back in the season, but you saw it at the press conference.
Yeah.
He wanted to just do the press conference and finish it, and that's it.
Anyway, Frings was one of those guys that was supposed to fit into the Aaron Winter school of football. And obviously now we're in the Kevin Payne school of football, so it's completely different. So obviously he has to go, so he might as well retire. At his age, you know, MLS was also a bit too physical a league for him, I think.
He had nothing left in the tank. He was done.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
So that's Torsten, so you're gone, man. You're gone, and you're a House of Pain victim. You're a victim of the House of Pain. And there's going to be a lot more victims to come. I think my next prediction is Terry Dunfield. He's done.
Yeah.
He's done. His days are numbered. And once Terry's gone, there's going to be no other MLS team that's going to start this guy. The only MLS team that would start this guy right here is Toronto FC. And after that, he is gone. And when he's gone there, he's gone also at the Canadian national team, meaning more playing time for Bernier. More playing time for Bernier, our Pieber. We need him on the field there.
I don't even think Bernier wants to play for Canada anymore, to be honest. I think he was still angry for not even playing Honduras and for being benched. I think he's done with Canada as well.
Has it come to this?
I think it has. It's going to be the new generation, and we're, what, 6 years away from the next qualification anyways? So it's going to be no more Bernier. Océan's done. So for Canada, I think it's... no hope for now.
So our only hope to go take a little vacation down south is CONCACAF Champions League. Joey, I hope you're listening. if you're saying we need South American players and all these players, they need to be able to perform in CONCACAF because I want my trip to Mexico. Joey, starts by winning the Voyager Cup. That's where it starts.
Starts by winning the Voyager Cup and getting us those tickets to get to visit Toronto next year.
Yeah,
exactly. We've heard, I think, on TSNFC, Jason DeVos was saying that we're going to get the reciprocal deal next year where we're going to get some tickets to Rogers Centre. George and I are going to have to lift our boycott of the Rogers Centre. This is not our favorite place to see a game.
It's a Sky Dome. I'm never going to call it Rogers Centre.
It's called the Rogers Centre, and the Rogers Centre has an official 514 FC boycott.
A ban.
It's a ban.
Yeah.
It's a ban. And we've only raised it on one occasion.
For the Toronto FC versus the LA Galaxy CONCACAF quarterfinal.
We did go to that game, and it was important, it's pertinent to support still your Canadian club in this championship.
When they're in CONCACAF.
When they're in CONCACAF.
Even if it's Toronto?
Even if it's Toronto, I say. You gotta at least...
I'll support Vancouver.
Come on. You gotta at least have sympathy for them.
When they lose,
you can laugh at them. This
team, they managed to do crappy always in the MLS season, but managed to flourish in the Voyager Cup and the beginning stages of the CONCACAF.
Well, when I was in Toronto, these were the most entertaining matches for me. These were the matches I went to. I didn't go to the regular season matches because I would go to those and just see them get clobbered.
So next year, we're going to be at the Rogers Centre. We're going to lift up that boycott once again, and I don't even think we're going to go into why we have the boycott in this show. We're going to have to save it for another show.
Yeah, that'll be a little special edition, because we got some choice words for Rogers.
And hopefully after that, listening to that, you're going to join the boycott band.
Exactly.
The official 514 FC ban against Rogers Centre.
Yeah.
So let's take a break, guys. And what are we going to listen to?
When we come back, we have a little bit of praise for Joey Saputo for once.
Oh, praise to Joey.
Said I'll be gone till November, I'll be gone till November. You tell my girl, yo, I'll be gone till November. I'll be gone till November, I'll be gone till November. You tell my girl, yo, I'll be gone till November. January, February, March, April, May. I see you crying, but girl, I can't stay. I'll be gone till November, I'll be gone till November. And give a kiss to my mother. When I come back, there'll be no need to clock. I have enough money to buy out the blocks. Tell my brother go to school in September so he won't mess up in summer school in the summer. Tell my cousin Jerry, wear his condom. If you don't wear condom, you see a red rum. Oh, 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 oh. You suffer MCs, you got no flow. I heard your style, you S.O.S.
Alright guys, welcome back. Just came back from Gone Till November, because to all our girlfriends or family, we're gone till November, baby.
Exactly. MLS 2013 has started. We're in the IMFC zone right now.
This is the zone.
Until November. So
I eat, sleep, drink blue right now, so.
Nothing else, no halves, no alouettes.
A little bit of Chelsea.
Maybe some tennis too once in a while.
I just want to say a little congratulations to our boy Jabrowski right now. Jeb was named the Humanitarian of the Month by MLS Works, so congratulations to him.
It's actually the second time he's been nominated Humanitarian of the Month, so
nice.
Double congratulations, Jeb. You're truly a scholar and a humanitarian. Basically, he got awarded this award for his continuing work in Guatemala. Last year it was India, now it's Guatemala. Him and his newly married wife, they went down to Guatemala and did more humanitarian work, talking about violence against women and using basically soccer as the context for talking about this. You know, it's beautiful.
And congratulations on his wife as well. God, she's pretty. She's so pretty. I've seen a couple pictures.
Congrats to Jeb and Caitlin Brofsky.
There you go. So while we're on the subject of congratulations,
and praise.
We said we would praise Joey Saputo once in a while, and here it is. We were watching actually the Disney Cup at Cafe Frappe, and we happened to run into our very esteemed colleague, ticket representative Rami Kamel Tueg
at Ramifications
on Twitter, and he happened to mention to us that The whole behind every player there's a supporter campaign was Joey's idea. And it was actually Joey's idea to put pictures of fans on the season tickets behind the players.
The last time we were all three together, we didn't get the season ticket package. Now we got the season ticket package, guys. What do you guys think?
Oh.
I like it. I think it's such an improvement. This year and last year, what a difference. Last year we only had tickets. This year we have a package that looks good. It's different. We got plans of the Big O, plans of Saputo. Ah, I think it's neat.
It looks like a book for crying out loud.
128, row double E. Those are our tickets. I love this beautiful map here. It's amazing, this package. I love it. I love all the pictures of the fans. It's so professional compared to last year.
Look at June 25th.
Is it June 25th or is it in May?
I think it's June.
June
against Philly.
May 25th.
May 25th.
We have Marco Di Vaio and our very own George Chidobe standing behind him. Behind every Di Vaio, there's a Chidobe.
For every Di Vaio, there's a Chidobe. And Di Vaio and Chidobe will be honored on May 25th
against Philadelphia Union, who have not started out very well. So we're looking forward to that on May 25th.
They started the game pretty well, the first 10 minutes. Sebastian Letout scores in the beginning of that game in their beautiful new jersey in honor of the Bethlehem Steel. But God, what happened after Kansas City just woke up?
Ciao, 3-1, that's what happened. That's
Zussi!
I love this guy's name, man. I got this guy in my fantasy pool. We're going to talk about fantasy in the next segment, but this guy was my major point scorer this week. I love this guy.
No, but to come back to the package we received, I loved it. Even a couple of the academy players that were not even sure to be on the team are on tickets. One of the last tickets of the year. One of those. You see a lot of academy players.
We see Carl we met here with a couple of academy players. Yeah, Maxime Tissot and Mitchell Brangard.
So,
speaking of academy, today was a big day for Maxime Crépeau.
Because we got to give him praise, too.
He got signed. He's our number three.
So thank you, Joey, once again. Signing another Canadian player, but more importantly,
Ciao, Brad Stuber.
But when we talk about this whole Stuber bull crap, I want to talk about Montreal Impact's, very quickly, do they really find the whole Super Draft, MLS Super Draft important?
What is the point of it?
I think they treated it like shit this year. Just to look at the rundown, the only guy we have out of the players that we drafted in the first freaking round is Smith. Ciao, Manje. We cut Manje. I don't even know how to say his name, but it's Manje.
Okay, fine.
Ciao, Struver. And what is it? Del Piccolo.
Yeah.
Gone.
No.
Yeah, he plays for Bayern Munich. So
out of four, we get Smith. All right? Did they do their homework for the draft, or they just don't give a shit, you know? Mm-hmm. By the way, the whole Manje thing, whatever pick he was, I think he was 17, or was it 19? Was it 17?
Something like that.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. That pick was Ching's pick, by the way, when we traded Ching's ass back to Houston. Yeah. Yeah. So in all, we got nothing for Ching. Nothing.
Well, you know, I see here, this reminds me of an article that was actually written by our very own Andrew Wenger on the Soccer Politics blog. I think it's Laurent Dubois, who's a professor at one of these American universities.
Duke,
exactly, the one that Wenger attended. Wenger's prof, basically. And Wenger writes an interesting article about the contrast in the European club-based system versus the American university-based system, the NCAA, right? Which is the usual mechanism for bringing up basketball players, football players, hockey players, and such, and then eventually getting them drafted into their respective professional leagues. Whereas with football, you kind of have an alternative structure of clubs and internal academies, right? Where they come up, you come up through an academy structure, almost like a sport études structure.
Well, that's the future, I think.
Yeah, so this is the question is, in this soccer context of academies, is how relevant is these drafts?
It's not. The draft, at least the super draft, is not relevant at all anymore. I'm going to make another bold prediction this week. I made a couple last week. This week I'm saying in the next 4 to 5 years, the super draft won't be there anymore. It's going to be the academy. There'll be the supplemental draft for the guy who gets cut after the preseason. But there's not going to be a college draft anymore because the players are not worth it. Yeah. Get better players with your academy. Look at this year, the impact. Mm-hmm. There's three players from the academy that got promoted to the big team this year. Only one draft pick.
Only one draft pick. And it's just that if we compare, you know, we like to compare with TFC sometimes. If we look at TFC, House of Pain, him he drafted pick by pick by pick and got allocation money. The point is that if Pain was behind the Impact office, there was no way he would have left Manje go for nothing. And if he knew he was already stacked in midfield, then he would have just dealt the pick, number 17 or whatever number he was, to another team and maybe get something in return. Yeah. Right now we got nothing in return for these picks. Struver's gone, so nothing for Struver. I think we own the rights on Del Piccolo, if he ever chooses to come back from Germany.
Yeah, it's not Bayern Munich. It's not Bayern Munich, it's Eintracht Frankfurt. Yep. I made a mistake there.
So, I don't know. That's my little spiel on the draft, you know?
No, I agree with you, George. I think the super draft is irrelevant.
If it's going to be abolished in 4 years, fine. But right now, it's there. And if you don't want to do any... If you don't want to partake in the draft, then be smart and deal your picks so you don't partake in this draft, but get something in return. Don't select somebody and then just... you know, walk away with nothing in return. Because that's bad business right there. But again, let's just go back to some praising.
Exactly. We said we would praise Joey, and I want to praise him a little bit on the third kit. I personally like the third kit. I would have put more stripes. But
especially in the back.
Well done.
And I got to say to everybody on Twitter the last couple months with that picture from Evangelista anywhere, the photo was legit after all. It was.
Mr. Evangelista got a little sample from Saputo with a card that said, Merry Christmas, have a free panettone, here's your jersey. Evangelista took a picture and he put it on Twitter.
Look, he put it on Twitter. It wasn't by accident. He put it on Twitter right before Christmas, right when everyone's buying shit. So, like, it's not like a little mistake that it went on, that it was leaked onto the internet. Come on. Right before Christmas, if I thought I could get that jersey in the store, I would have gone in and bought it. And then when I arrived there and they tell me, oh, it hasn't come out yet, I would have still bought another jersey. So that was strategically leaked to get all the suckers into the store. I'm sorry to say, that's how it works.
So overall, we like the jersey, we want more stripes. My little thing, and again, Rob knows what's coming right now, my comment on the jersey, is the collar. I do not like the collar. I saw the collar. Carl we met was at the unveiling. He was doing his interview and I saw the collar, and what dreads me with the collar is when the collar frizzes and gets all wrinkly, and that's what was happening on his collar right away. So I don't like that with the collar. The collar has to be off, no collar.
Well, we're only going to see it a couple of times this year because there's rules in the MLS for how many times you actually wear your third kit. Mm. I think you're only allowed 3 times a year. Mm. But in every other smaller championship, you can see it.
Right, in exhibition matches and international matches, you can obviously wear whatever you want. But no, great jersey overall. I like the goalie's third kit with that Expos 1970s, 1980s baby blue. Love that one. Love TP's all black jersey.
TP all black jersey.
Loving it. I think I might even get this TP jersey. This
like a Black Panther.
He looks so tough with a little bit of blood on his left eyebrow. God, he looked tough after the Ferrari hit.
Overall, some good improvements with our kits.
Yeah.
Yeah. So praise to Joey for once. I can't believe it. We're saying good stuff about him.
No, we are. We're going to keep it like that. What else did Joey do good for us? You know what Joey did good? Joey did good and hiring Brian Wakeman, who then hired Rami Kamel Toureg. It's time to praise Rami right now.
Rami does a great job in getting us tickets, in getting us the tickets we want. He's always served us extremely well. You need to contact him to get your tickets for the 16th at 4 o'clock at the Big O. You need to call this guy to get your tickets, or you need to tweet him on Twitter. He's Ramifications.
There's only 10 days left, guys.
MontrealImpact.com or MLSsoccer.com and click on the Montreal Impact emblem. That's how easy it is. And then you click on tickets And you're going to get the number to call up Rami.
It's going to be Toronto. It's going to be a bloodbath. We're going to destroy them. So you're going to get your money's worth.
And then you're going to hear Rami say three important words. Tus Pugani.
It's rivalry play that day. It's rivalry week in the MLS. So
by next week, I want the Impact to send out a press release and say we're at 40,000. So guys, get your tickets.
Yeah.
Call Rami, call whoever, call the Impact.
To all you casual fans, look, let's face it. There's two matches at the Olympic Stadium and the rest are at Saputo. Saputo is a 20,000 capacity stadium. It's going to be harder to get tickets because we were filling up that stadium last year. So for the last minute ticket buyer, it's going to be harder for you in 2013 to get a ticket at Saputo Stadium. So you might as well get your ass, buy your ass a general admission ticket and move your ass down to a more strategic location in the Olympic Stadium. There's going to be a lot of room to move around, but that's where you get your best money's worth coming to the Olympic Stadium. You're going to see two amazing matches. Toronto, again, is going to be a slaughter. We're going to destroy them. And then you're going to get to see New York Red Bulls and Thierry Henry. And that's going to be a beautiful contest right there because who knows who's going to win that one.
And it's probably the last chance you'll get to see Nesta and DiVaio play at the Big O this year. So
we know one of them ain't going to be back. And he said 90% sure this was going to be his last season.
He wants to win, though. That's what he said. Come on, it's your last time to come and see Nesta and DiVaio at the Big O. You can't miss it. Come and pack it up for them. You need to see those two players play in a blue Montreal uniform.
It's not bad. You have to hear the ultras sing, too.
Yeah.
You need to live the experience. You need to have a beer in your hand. You need to be there for the national anthems, minus the whole shields. Hopefully they don't come out with paper shields.
Oh, please, not back out. Oh, no.
Lagan was going to come out with the paper shields.
They sacrificed Eddie Sebrango for that, you know?
And that they sacrificed his number 12 for that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So, you know, we did enough praise. Do we have to praise anything else?
Well, I just
wanted to praise checklist.
Marco Schalibaum, coach of the week for this week.
Yeah, praise to Marco.
Davy Arnault made the starting 11, which is pretty good as well as a midfielder.
He may have goal of the week. Go vote on MLSsoccer.com for goal of the week. I mean, George, I don't know. Did you see those other goals?
The goals had nothing on his chip shot. Like you said, it was a double chip shot.
It was a double chip shot. It was one chip shot from Ferrari that got me some nice points on my fantasy league. And then the chip shot over just Spurning for the goal. It was a beautiful chip shot.
Don't forget, Spurning is 6'5".
Yeah.
He's tall.
Is it just me or did he react a little bit slowly to Davey's chip?
He was a no man's line. He didn't expect it.
Yeah.
No, he said he was too advanced, too far away, and he took him too long to realize he's going to get checked. He came back too far, too long, and missed it.
Exactly.
Now, there's a couple of things I want to see change, though, for next week. Because speaking about Portland, our next opponent.
Because we got Portland next week. Next Saturday. Champs, casual sport. Go to Frappe. Be there. You guys have to be dressed in blue. Because we're going against an army of green.
And our old buddy, Mr. Butterfingers, Donovan Ricketts. What do we need to do to exploit Ricketts' weakness?
First of all, you need to not sub in Callum Malice in the second half. He had a really poor second half against Seattle, and he needs to do a lot better next week. Actually, he needs to not play.
What did he do horrible?
He lost possession in the second half. At least three times, he lost possession directly in front of the net. They came to an Eddie Johnson shot that Nesta cleared off at the last second.
Mm-hmm.
He lost possession at midfield. They came off. That right after he lost possession, the play started again going, and the actual Eddie Johnson posts the woodworks right after it. So he was directly responsible for those two plays.
So do you think Colin Warner would have been a better option?
Actually, I really think it did. Yeah. At the end of the game, we needed more defensively minded, really solid, experienced defensemen. Defenders, midfield defenders.
Holding midfield, yeah.
Exactly. And Colin Warner would have done a better job, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
than Callum Malice did.
Mm-hmm.
But the 40,000 people probably got the nerves of the kid.
Yeah.
He's so young.
Yeah.
How about, here's what I shoot out. I'm like, what about Andrew Wenger? Can he play every position? Maybe even goalie at one point, too. Can he not be a defender, midfield, and striker? Didn't he not do all this in Duke and did it with a lot of success?
I think Wenger has so much raw talent that it would be a waste of his abilities to put him anywhere else but striker. The problem is we're so stacked in the midfield that we need to have that formation that doesn't really allow for a second striker. It's really unfortunate for him. But, I mean, I guess the silver lining for me, if I were Andrew Wenger, is that, you know, how many more years does Marco de Vaio have, right?
It goes back to Kevin's last point. This might be the last time we see both Nesta and de Vaio in blue at the Olympic Stadium.
Exactly.
Yeah. One of these guys are gone. And Nesta confirmed it in the report with...
The Jerry Dobson interview. The Sportsnet.
Very enlightening interview.
90%.
Yeah, he likes Miami.
We're gonna save that to the end of the show. We got a little bit of Miami spice.
How tanned was Nesta in the Seattle match?
How tanned was Schellebaum?
Maybe Arnaud.
Yeah,
Arnaud was freaking tanned.
These guys love Florida, man. Nesta was saying he's gonna take a little 2-year rest his knees, take it easy in Miami. And honestly, here comes some wild speculation, guys.
Oh, you're going to go for it. You're going to go
our,
for it.
Our theory is that the next MLS expansion club may very well be a Florida-based, maybe Miami-based expansion club.
Orlando.
We know who else is in the market for a club is Mr. Beckham. And we know Mr. Nesta is interested in coaching. So there might be, this is just wild speculation, but...
The timeline makes sense. He said, Nesta, that he wants 2 years in Miami to rest up his knees. Those 2 years give him plenty of time to get his FIFA accreditations in his coaching. So he's going to do all that. Fine, he'll go do that. That gives MLS and Beckham enough time to basically talk. Because we know that Beckham has a clause in his contract where... He basically will take the expansion fee location, the expansion fee price, and it's basically half price for Beckham, half price. And that expansion fee is basically 100 mil for Queens, New York. They're not going to give Beckham that huge rebate on Queens, but they'll give it to him in Orlando. Mm-hmm. And why not? Beckham still wants to live that American dream. These Europeans, they love Florida. They love Florida. They love Miami. It's their little Cuba right there, you know? I'd rather go to Cuba, but they want to come to Miami. So be it. Let Beckham have his team, and let his coach be Nesta.
Beautiful.
I think it's a happy story at the end.
You guys are doing bold predictions.
It's our fantasy franchise expansion. We're gonna get to our fantasy league and how we're doing on that on the next segment. But before that, do we have anything else to say about the match coming up?
Well, I'll give my prediction for Portland and Montreal game. I think it's going to be a little bit more offensive kind of game. Portland doesn't have as a depth like Seattle does. It's a little bit more, they're still young. Kelly Porter's a young coach. It's his first year. So Schellebaum's going to have a more leeway offensively, in my opinion. So you're going to see a little bit more offensively, not as less defending. So you won't see an 11th person behind the ball. It's a little bit more movement up front. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more movement between Pizano and Felipe and De Vaio. Because now... the actual players can trade places when they play. Mm-hmm. So I expect a lot of movement in the front and on the right side with Pizano. Mm-hmm. And I'll give a score prediction. I think it's going to be 2-1 Montreal. Oof. There, I said it. Ricketts going to give a goal. So you get a fumble into goal, Ricketts, and then...
Yeah, you can count on Ricketts to at least be caught staring on at least one goal.
And Divayo is going to open his 13 account this week as well. So there's my prediction, guys.
Prediction?
2-1.
What do you got, Rob?
I'm going to predict a 2-2.
2-2?
Look, they brought it to 3-3 with New York. I'm going to predict a 2-2. It's going to be a wild match. I'm going to enjoy seeing Ryan Johnson because I haven't seen him since my days in Toronto. I'm going to enjoy seeing fucking Ricketts. I'm going to enjoy seeing Troy Perkins come back to his old team. I want TP to lock it down just like he did last week. But I think they're going to get the better of him. But I think it's going to be a crazy battle. I think it's going to be a 2-2 battle.
2-2 battle?
Yeah.
2-2
battle.
What's your prediction, George?
I was more or less, last week I called basically Seattle-Montreal a 1-1 draw.
All right.
I predicted that this was going to be a 1-1 draw. but so I think I'm just going to go with a 1-0 sneak impact win. They're going to sneak it out.
Okay, well, if you're saying
it's a clean sheet number
if you're saying we're going to sneak it out, I want to know who's going to score that sneaker.
Who's going to score the sneaker?
Yeah.
Who am I feeling right now?
Are you feeling your map for success?
The map for success? Am I feeling a bit of map to success? No, I'm not feeling a map to success. I want Andrew Wager subbed in. I want Andrew Wager to prove his worth. Andrew Wager needs to...
prove boast.
He needs to prove the boast. And there's a lot of boast in him that needs to be expulsed in this world. We need Andrew Wager. 33 will score the goal. Rob wanted 33 to score on his birthday.
It didn't happen on his birthday.
But Andrew heard. He took a rain check. He's going to get it for you next week, Rob.
All right. 33 for 33. All right.
So since we're into our fantasy predictions, we're going to take a little break and come back with our MLS fantasy rosters, how we did last week and what we're looking forward to, who we think is going to perform for us in week 2 of MLS. Why, oh, why? See, you must understand, I can't work a 9-to-5, so I'll be gone till November. Said I'll be gone till November, I'll be gone till November. You tell my girl yo, I'll be gone till November, I'll be gone till November, I'll be gone till November. You tell my girl yo, I'll be gone till November. January, February, March, April, May. I see you crying, but girl, I can't stay. I'll be gone till November, I'll be gone till November. You'll give a kiss to my mother.
Alright, we're back on 514FC with a little fantasy MLS football. We're gonna run through our rosters, how we did last week. As for myself, I got 57 points.
Not too shabby. No?
Yeah, I'm 15th place in our 514FC league.
15th.
Yeah, 15th. Yeah, whatever. Whatever. It is what it is. My best player was Graham Zusi with 14 points. Then I had Omar Gonzalez with 10. Our own Hassoun Kamara with 8. Our own Felipe with 6. 6 with that assist for Davey. And then of course Jimmy Nielsen is my starting goalie, so he picked up 4 points for me.
Mr. Smoker.
Yeah, one of my big players, Jerry Bankston, it was his bye week with New England, so I had to put him on the bench. And pretty much the 4 guys on my bench, Maicon Santos, Carl Wiemant, and Quinlan Roberts, they all earned 0 points, so I couldn't have done any better than that.
Well, you did the actual average. The average for this week in our league is 57 points.
Well, there you go. I had Darren Maddox up front. He only earned me 4 points. I would have loved to see Darren score some more against Toronto. Kind of expecting it, but, you know.
Mom's got to feed him more jerk chicken.
Yeah, this guy needs some more jerk chicken to fucking fill the gas tanks so he can fucking be
he
a
said he wanted to
there.
Score 20 goals this season.
He needs some fire in his ass to fucking run faster. You know. Anyway, other than that, Aurelien Collin got me 5 points, and it was an average week. We'll see what my trades do.
Your score is better than Philippe Germain, Rob.
Oh, well, thank you. I'll wear that as a badge of honor.
All our scores are better than Philippe Germain.
Oh.
514FC, we represented very well in week 1. How about you, Kevin? What do you got?
Actually, I'm ranked number 5 right now, so I'm 5th in the 514FC podcast league.
Damn you.
Yeah, I had a pretty good week. I put all my eggs in the LA Galaxy basket. So after Saturday, I was pretty much mid-table. But right after Sunday night, after that 4-0 win, Robbie Keane was my captain. 22 points for Mr. Robbie Keane. Then I had Juninho in the midfield, 6 points, and Diamond 9 in defense. I had Ferrari and DiVaio. DiVaio only a point. Ferrari gave me 8 points. Dynamo, a couple players as well. I got Tally Hall, Bobby Boswell, Brad Davis. All gave me a 7-6 points each. But for next week, I had a lot of decisions to do, so we'll talk about it later. But how did you do, George?
76 points.
Right.
76.
Behind me.
Number six in the 514FC league. I got some big decisions to make. I got Jay Demerit, who's injured. I got Rosales and Janino, who are not playing in week 2. These are my decisions, but... Higuain, Monsieur El General, El Jefe,
El Capitano.
Who did you drop at last minute that made you more points than you were actually able to make?
I'm proud to say that I had to, I'm not proud to say, but I had to drop the guy who I'm basically on the season ticket with.
Mr. Marco De Bio, Mr. Number 9.
I dropped him, and I chose to take Alvaro Saborio, or Saboriel.
That was a very brave...
It was a brace. It was a brave brace. It paid dividend at the end, and I hope my other last minute decisions in terms of demerit and Janino and Rosales will pay dividend in week 2 too, because I want to be in the top 5 by next week. I want to improve.
All right,
Bernardo Bellini, if you're listening, I'm after you, buddy. I'm after you.
He's second in our league right now, actually.
All
right. I already made my trade for next week, guy. It was a little bit in advance, so maybe really? I should have waited. So my team for this week, the only two changes I made is I traded Robbie Keane, because he's not playing next week, for Mr. Claudio Bieler, the new DP for Kansas City, who had an amazing debut, or first goal. It's actually, there was a couple of amazing debuts this week. A couple of new players, new DP scored for a lot of teams, but Bieler was one of my favorite players this weekend. So I took him and Zusi in the midfield for next game, so... Hopefully against Toronto, it'll be worth it.
Well, I'm certainly going to wait till the last minute of the trade deadline to make my changes, because I need as much time as possible to research this shit to move up from 15th place, because this is unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
But since you two are such geniuses at predicting this shit, we're going to do some predictions next for week 2 in MLS and the 3 CONCACAF matches coming up. I can't wait for those.
And with the dawn of a new season... We start the Impact Players picks, and we're going to start off our picks for the CONCACAF Champs League, which starts tonight. I'm going to go straight to my CONCACAF expert, Mr. Rob. What have we got?
Well, if you had to pick 3 matches in your mise au jeu this week, I would say look for a tie, maybe a win in Santos Laguna over Houston at BBVA Compass. I just think you're at least going to see a tie. Go with a tie if you're conservative. Go with a Santos win if you're aggressive. Next, we got Tigres hosting Seattle Sounders down in Mexico. Tigres are at the top of the Mexican League table right now. They're right in their mid-season prime shape. And Seattle Sounders just suffered a loss to us at home in Seattle.
Proof boost.
Exactly. So Tigres is taking this home leg, guaranteed. And the final CONCACAF match this week is LA Galaxy, I believe, going to Herediano, going to Costa Rica to play Herediano. I'm going to call this one a tie as well. Let's just give the Costa Rican side the home advantage. But LA looked super strong this week with that 4-0 win, so you got to think that they're going to continue that with that momentum. So let's call that one a tie and stay conservative.
So there we go. That's Rob and Mr. CONCACAF right here. So on Saturday we have the MLS Week 2 schedule. We have 6 games, but let's just focus on those Canadian games. Kevin, we have Toronto at home, and we got Sporting KFC.
That's one of my lock of the week. I think Sporting Kansas City is going to dominate at the Rogers Center. It's going to be 2 or 3-0. It's not going to be pretty. It's going to be effective. Toronto's going to have their hands full.
So you're saying this is a lock? You're saying that maybe...
Kansas City. In my parlay, Kansas City is in there.
Parlay in MLS Fantasy. Should we get those players?
You should go get them right now.
And then the next Canadian match on Saturday, we got Vancouver at home, and we got Columbus coming to visit. What we got, Rob?
I'm taking Vancouver just because I have Darren Maddux in my pool. But I mean, Gershon Kofi looked impressive with his goal against Toronto. Although on the other hand, Columbus and Higuain were dangerous as well last week. It's a tough one, but I'm just going to go with Vancouver just because I want to. Darren has to get me some points.
For the last Canadian game, we basically have Les Glorieux, Les Bleus ici, l'Impact de Montréal against Portland at home in Portland. We all discussed it before. We're all taking blue.
blew all the way.
Well, I'm the only exception. I'm calling it a 2-2 tie, and I stand by it.
2-2 tie, so Butterfingers, Ricketts are going to let in those two goals, but we're still going to get a point.
Yeah.
I'm still happy with that point, Rob. I'm still happy. My lock, basically, of the week, if we include Saturday and Sunday, is basically Chivas at home versus Dallas. It seems anybody that goes to Chivas is going to be able to walk through Chivas with their 7,500 supporters. Dallas is my guarantee. Go crazy on Dallas. Have fun. David Ferreira all the way. Just Spugagne.
I agree with you. But my lock for this, my second lock for my parlay, which I'm actually going to bet on this week, it's going to be the San Jose Earthquake against Red Bulls. I believe San Jose is going to bounce back from their game this week. Going to be at Buckshaw. Lenhardt might play. Alan Gordon might play. Betisher is going to be back. And Wondolowski is going to be on form with Lenhardt beside him and Alan Gordon. So watch out for the Earthquakes.
Rob, I know you like Bankston.
Oh, well, I'm just going with New England over Chicago just for the pure sake of Bankston needs to win me some points in my MLS Fantasy League. As you can see, my predictions are not based on any research. They're only based on who I have in my fantasy league, so go for the Revs.
So those are basically our CONCACAF picks, our MLS picks. Not all the matches, but if you want to get our picks for those matches, feel free to follow us at 514_FC. Our picks will be made available right before match time.
My Twitter, Kevin Arami, my Twitter is at BOULI54, BOULI54. Bully 54, so my picks will be up on Thursday.
Check it out. Yeah, we're also on Twitter at 514_FC and on Facebook as well, facebook.com/514FC.
Usually we end these podcasts with, let's say, an article of the week. We're going to change it up. We basically have some tweets of the week, but basically on the main topic. And this main topic is concerning the
priorities. Let's put it in a nutshell, it's priorities. We got a lot of tweets recently about the price of tickets and service charges. Apparently people get charged service charges with Ticketmaster when they buy tickets individually, and they're complaining about the price of tickets. I personally, in my opinion, I think a lot of the tickets in various sections are very reasonably priced at Stad Saputo. So I don't know what some of these people are complaining about ticket prices, but if you're smart, just save up your money a little bit and buy a season ticket. The cheapest season ticket is about $300, right?
You can pay in 3 different payments.
Exactly. Put it on the credit card and pay it off later.
Get that BMO MasterCard, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
That BMO Montreal Impact MasterCard.
Exactly. You'll get a free jersey, supposedly.
So, some of these people on Twitter respond saying, well, I've already bought a jersey at $120 and a scarf at $30 and another jersey for my kid at $100. You got your priorities backwards, buddy. You buy the tickets first, then you buy the merch.
Yes.
And when you buy the tickets, you get a discount on the merchandise. So don't come and say that you've spent all your money on merchandise when could have been smart from the get-go. Just buy a season ticket. Problem solved.
Well, let's say I went on Ticketmaster and I went to go find the cheapest ticket on the Montreal for the Montreal Impact game against TFC. And it's funny how you can't find these prices, the individual tickets for the Olympic Stadium on the Montreal Impact website. So you go through Ticketmaster and you basically see how the cheapest ticket is $20 and the service charge is $7. If anything is criminal, it's basically the $7 service charge, because that's almost 50% of the ticket right there. I understand.
That's Ticketmaster's fault. That's not Impact's fault.
That's not that. But again, you know, that's what it is. And what people are saying were that last year, how the tickets were $15, and that's how it was. Just $15, the cheapest ticket, and how it increased now to almost $30. And now $30 is not affordable. I think if we break down, let's say, the general admission $300 package that are basically great seats if you want to chant, go crazy, sing with our very own Montreal Ultras.
Our very own Montreal Ultras.
Hey.
But, you know,
$300 is affordable. If you save your money, just save your money.
Save it, and if you divide it by 19, that equals to basically $16, $17 per ticket. So instead of paying $30 per ticket, the Impact are giving you savings of $14 if you break it down per ticket if you get the season ticket package.
Now, we don't even work for Impact. We're not trying to pitch you season tickets. We're just trying to do the math for you.
And if you want your tickets, you call Rami.
Exactly. If you're buying $200 worth of merch and then you're complaining about the ticket price, it's because you put the cart before the horse and you bought your merchandise before you bought your tickets, which is just dumb.
And that's not the way to prove boast.
And a supporter is not somebody with a jersey, it's somebody with a ticket.
Somebody with their ass in a motherfucking seat.
To go see Davey fucking Arnaud score on the bingo.
To Spugagne.
To Spugagne for that.
Hashtag that shit, says mass, says are.
Be there.
We dare you.
I just want to say a little thank you to Morgan Green from the EPL Talk Podcast for all the love and the help. I'll see you soon, buddy.
Well, with that being said, I think this was a very exciting edition. I'm drinking my Bud Light Platinum.
Thank you, Kevin.
Cheers, my friends.
Thank you, Kevin, for bringing the beer. And we'll see if all our wild predictions come true next week. So until then, I'm Roberto Garcia, and for George Chidobe and Kevin Laramé, we're 514 FC. I had to flip nothing and turn it into something. Hip hop turns to the future of rock when I smash a pumpkin. Commit treason, then I have a reason to hunt you down. It's only right, it's rapid season. Yeah, you with the loud voice, posing like your top choice. Your voice, I make the hearse out of your Rolls Royce. Besides, I got my girl to remember, and I committed that I'll be back in November. Every time I make a run, girl, you turn around and cry. I ask myself why, oh why. See, you must understand, I can't work a 9 to 5. So I'll be gone till November. Then I'll be gone till November. I'll be gone till November. You tell my girl I'll be gone till November. I'll be gone till November. I'll be gone till November. You tell my girl you wanna be gone till November. January, February, March, April, May. I see you crying, but girl, I can't stay. I'll be gone till November, I'll be gone till November. You give a kiss to my mother. I know the hustle's hard, but we got an enterprise. The carnival. For all the latest news and opinion, make sure to follow 514SC on Twitter @514_FC.